Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect. Welcome back to Burden and Blessing. Today we're going to be taking a look at the importance of the family life, family devotions, and what is called the family altar. We live in a day and age today where families are becoming more and more splintered and distracted by the things that are going on in this world. And so we're going to focus on the importance of establishing and maintaining Christ and His Word as the center of our families at the family altar. Joining me to go through the topic of family devotions and its importance in our lives is Pastor Nathan Pfeiffer. How are you, Nathan?
I'm well.
Glad to have you with us this morning.
Well, glad to be with you. Hope we can be a blessing to your listeners and share the Word with them and strengthen them and equip them as Christian parents and raising up their kids in the Word.
We heard that you had just done a presentation on the importance of family devotions, which is why we have you with us. What was the foundation that you used as the beginning for your presentation, the importance of the family altar?
Well, one passage that came to mind is the discussion Jesus had with Peter after Easter, after they had breakfast on the beach on the Sea of Galilee, in discussing, questioning Peter whether he loved Jesus, and Jesus then charges Peter to feed my lambs. And so when we think about our homes and our children, we think of them as being like little lambs and the Lord's desire that they be fed, fed through His Word. So that when we think of our role as parents, that's our kind of our number one priority, is to make sure we feed the lambs that Jesus has entrusted to our care in our own home. He redeemed them, they belong to Him, and He wants us to take care of their souls.
So it's interesting to think about the fact that the children that we have, you know, we value them. We want to do everything that we can in order to protect them, to care for them, to give them all the physical things that they need. But really what the Lord reminds us there in His discussion with Peter is that they are also His, aren't they?
Yeah. He's known from eternity, as you know, the Lord tells Jeremiah that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So He knew these kids before we ever knew them, before we had a name for them, even before we ever existed from eternity, He's known them. And so they are eternally important to them, to the Lord. And, you know, I view my kids as something He's entrusted to us to take care of physically. Yes, but more than that, take care of them spiritually.
You know, a lot of times when we think about and we talk a lot about mission work as Christians, you know, the great commission, and a lot of times as individuals we say, oh, you know, I'm looking at this person at work or this person that I ran into at the store, and we look for mission work and mission opportunities there. And yet really the greatest and most important mission opportunities that the Lord has given to us are right under our noses every day as parents.
Right. And also, to my own shame, they're often overlooked. You know, we think of the big people as being the important ones, but Jesus, you know, reminded His disciples and chastised them when He tried to keep the kids away from them, to let the little children come to Me. And His desire is the same within our own homes. So feeding those lambs that He's given us is very important to the Lord, and as His children, it should be important to us as well.
So Paul mentions the importance of that in Ephesians 6, mm-hmm. and he points out both a negative and a positive. So what are the negatives and the positives that Paul brings up in connection with our roles, as particularly as fathers?
Yeah, throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, the Lord focuses the attention on Christian fathers especially, but Christian parents in general. training up these children he's given us, but he also warns, don't provoke them to wrath, or don't egg them on, don't frustrate them, don't make promises and not keep them. I mean, there's few things that irritate my kids more is when I tell them I'm going to do something and then I don't follow through on what I said I'm going to do. So don't exasperate your kids, don't frustrate them, but instead train them up in the Lord's way. And that word train there has a neat word picture of feeding or nourishing. And so when we think of feeding my lambs and feeding or nourishing them in the Lord and correcting them in the Lord when they need it as well.
So that idea of provoking our children, that can be both intentional and unintentional, can't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that you've seen examples of that where, just as I have, and maybe, you know, we've fallen into that as parents too at times where we do try to egg on our children, and, you know, that is not a healthy thing.
No.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, the one example that always comes to mind for me is the late night show Jimmy Kimmel has a Halloween skit where he tells parents to, the day after Halloween, tell your kids that they ate all their Halloween candy the night before and it's all gone, and videotape it and see how the kids react. And the kids just get infuriated. Some of them cry and melt down in sadness. Some of them are red-faced and angry and yelling at their mom and dad. And for Jimmy Kimmel and his audience, it's all a big joke. But in the end, they're provoking their kids to wrath. They're egging them on, exasperating them just for the sake of their own entertainment. And it's just sad and infuriating for me as an adult to see that being done to children for the sake of humor. So that can be a deliberate thing. Sometimes it's just a neglect thing where, you know, we're sinful parents that we drop the ball sometimes too. And that can exasperate and provoke kids to wrath as well.
And either way, the Lord is pointing out that whether it be intentional or unintentional, really it boils down to the fact that our children are not able to trust us in the end, right? We're losing trust with our children, whether we intentionally or unintentionally, you know, lie to them or deceive them or, you know, do those things that are harmful to them. That's just not, and that is not the way that the Lord treats us.
Right. These are little souls that need loving care. And that's, lamb is a perfect word for it, because you know you need to be tender and gentle with the lamb because they're so fragile. Same thing with these little souls that the Lord has entrusted to us.
So you have another passage that you mentioned also, and that's also from Paul in as he addresses Timothy.
Yeah.
And this really was very specific. It related directly to Timothy. He talks a lot about Timothy's upbringing as a child by his mother and his grandmother and the important role that they played in his life. How does Paul address that with Timothy?
Well, he talks to Timothy in his second letter, 2 Timothy 3:15, how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So in that passage, Paul talks about both when we're supposed to start feeding these lambs, what we're supposed to feed them, and what the intended result is from the Christian parent. And so he says, even from infancy, from little on up, start feeding those lambs and use the Holy Scriptures. So bring them up, feed them in the Word. And there's various different tools you can use to accomplish that, but make sure it's grounded in Scripture, because the Scripture is the only thing that's going to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And that ties together with the proof passage of Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that includes little children, infants, having faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. So when we think of all the things we want to give our kids, you know, we want to give them protection, we want to give them security. Ultimately, don't we want to give them eternal life? And that comes from the word, God working through that word to create faith in their heart and keep them in the faith. and make them wise for salvation.
And that's really what the Lord wants too, right?
Yes. I mean,
the Lord desires the salvation of all. He desires the salvation of the children that he has entrusted to us. And he uses us as Christian parents in order to bring that child through baptism, through, as they get older, through the use of the Lord's Supper, through the hearing of the word, into his kingdom, and to keep them in his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And boy, it's a dire situation when we as Christians, as Christian parents in particular, do not heed those words that the Lord gave to Peter, and he encourages us as well, feed my lambs. When we neglect that responsibility, that important responsibility that the Lord has given to us as Christian parents.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, we often think about doing outreach and evangelism and spreading the gospel, and we think we have to go far and wide to accomplish that. But here are these little souls under our own roof that spread the word to them, share the word with them, and that's the Lord's desire. He wants them to be saved as well.
So what would you say to the Christian parent who would say to you in response, well, I do feed my children. I bring them to church every weekend. They go to Sunday school each week. They go to vacation Bible school every summer. Maybe they even attend the Christian day school at my church. Yeah, that's 5 days a week. What would you say to the Christian parent that says, well, I'm feeding them with all of those things? Isn't that enough?
I would say, awesome. Keep it up. You know, sometimes we talk about church and Sunday school and vacation Bible school and the Christian day school. They're really a tool for the Christian parent to help you accomplish what God wants for your children. He wants them to be fed. And so, yeah, keep bringing them to church and Sunday school and VBS and make use of a Christian day school if it's available to you. But don't let it replace what God has entrusted to you personally as a parent. This is your calling as a parent, is to train them up in the word and make use of those tools through the church that are available. One passage in particular that I think about a lot and I make use of when we have Christian Education Sundays is Deuteronomy 6. And there he talks, even in the Old Testament, about parents bringing their children up in the word. Deuteronomy 6:6-9, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. So first of all, Moses says, parents, this is for you, first of all. So take God's word to heart for yourself. And having done that, then teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And that really nails what Christian parenting is all about. First, applying the word to yourself, sitting at Jesus' feet yourself, hearing his word for yourself, and then sharing it with the next generation. Teach it diligently. You know, Moses speaks of talking of it when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. I don't know if we do that as much anymore. There's not walking from one place to the next as much in the 21st century as in the days before the automobile. So when you're in your car after church, talk about the Sunday school lesson with your kids. Show them that what they learned from the Bible is important to you too. Bring it up later on in the week about your Sunday school lesson. The main point the Lord says here in Deuteronomy 6 is to make this a part of your daily routine, a part of your daily life. When you're sitting around the dinner table, talk about the word. Make sure to bring the word in, whether it's a devotion or just discussing the day and bringing Jesus into the conversation. Moses also talks about when you lie down and when you rise up. To me, that reminds me of morning devotions and evening devotions with your kids. So bringing your kids to church and Sunday school and VBS and Christian day school, if it's available, is all part of this. But really, it begins in the home, and your church, Sunday school, VBS, is an extension of what you're already doing at home, another tool to help you feed Jesus' lambs.
So in essence, what you're saying is that to some degree, church worship, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, even the Christian day school is really a supplement to what God intends to take place in the home.
Absolutely, yeah. That same passage, he talks of that as writing these things on your doorposts of your house and your gates and making the word such a part of your life that it's a part of your daily conversation and your daily routine at home. And maybe you have hangings on your wall that can remind you of Bible passages. But yeah, making, you know, church your home and then Sunday worship an extension of that, a part of that. You know, here's, we're being fed throughout the week, but on Sunday we're going to go to church and we're going to have a feast as we sit and hear God's word together as a family.
I think the neat thing about that Deuteronomy passage is it does make it very clear that Christian education does begin in the home. I mean, you can't do those things at church or even at the Christian day school. Those are things that have to take place in the house. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, those are things that don't happen at school or at church or anywhere else. It happens in the home. And, you know, it's not the Sunday school teachers or the Christian day school teachers or the pastor that's going to be able to do that. It is the Christian father and mother. And you pointed out in that first verse that if the parents, if that is not in their heart, if that's not a part of their lives, they're not going to be able to do that with their children, are they?
Right.
It has to start there. Begin,
yeah, your personal growth in Christ, your personal growth in the Word, and then letting it, trying to think of the, I think it's John 4, where Jesus is meeting with the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus talks of fountains of living water springing forth, and that's the Christian. When we're in the Word and in Christ, Christ quenches our personal spiritual thirst, and then fountains of water gush forth everywhere we go, and we spread the Word in our home and in our work and wherever we go. So it begins with the individual and their walk with Christ, and then flowing out of their life into the home and into the family.
I don't know about you, but one of the things that I've heard in my ministry is that a lot of times as you have this discussion just one-on-one with parents, a lot of times they'll respond by saying, well, I don't feel equipped or knowledgeable enough to lead a family devotion or to conduct family devotions in my home. And really, again, it goes back to what this verse is talking about, doesn't it? That as parents, we need to be learning and growing ourselves personally so that we are equipped and able to train, educate, instruct, teach that next generation.
Right.
Which then goes back to the importance of church attendance for us as parents, Bible class attendance for us as parents, you know, Bible studies, whatever method that we can in order to grow in our own knowledge of God's Word using those resources that are available so that we are able to then teach our children as they grow up and grow into the truth of God's Word.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as Lutherans, sometimes we can be very stoic and we like to keep things very close to our vest and we don't like to show our emotions and be too gushy. And so sometimes just the threshold is starting to make Jesus a part of our conversation and getting comfortable talking about Jesus and getting over that first obstacle. Then you become more comfortable talking about the Word. Well, what does this passage mean? What do you think Jesus is talking about here? Either with your spouse or with your children, and just getting comfortable talking about Jesus in our homes is probably the biggest hurdle we have just because of insecurity. But as, you know, like Mary and Martha, Martha was worried and troubled about many things, and Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to her word, and Jesus says, that's the one thing that won't be taken away, the time you spend with me in the Word. And so the time we spend with Jesus in the Word, the time we spend with our families, with Jesus sitting at his feet, hearing his Word, Jesus says nobody can take that from you. So a lot of things as parents we're going to lose with our kids. They're going to grow up and leave the house. But the time we spent in the Word, no one can rob your kids of that. No one can take that away from them.
I remember hearing a story of a fellow who was captured in World War II, and he was imprisoned by the Japanese. And everything that he had was taken away from him. He had nothing. You know, he could be robbed of food. He could be robbed of water. He could be robbed of his clothes. He could be robbed of, you know, in essence, of his humanity. But the one thing that couldn't be taken away from him was what he had learned and what he had heard and the confidence that he had in Jesus as his Savior. You know, that cannot be taken away. And it goes right back to what you're saying. You know, so often we see our young people and they say, well, why do I have to memorize this? I can bring it up on the internet. Well, sure, but what happens if the internet is taken away from you? What if you don't have access to that? What if you don't have your Bible? You know, the importance of memorizing those words and having that with you where the Holy Spirit is at work, you know, that is something that cannot be taken away. And boy, in our modern age, a lot of times we lose sight of the importance of God's Word and the memorizing even of God's Word and its mm-hmm. value in our lives.
Yeah, and that can be part of the conversation too. If you got kids in Sunday school or Christian day school or catechism class that have memory work, make sure your kids recite to you and hear those passages, be reminded of the ones maybe you learned as a kid, and talk about it with their kids. Make sure they understand the words that they are memorizing, that it's just not repetition of words, but they're really understanding, you know, this is God speaking to you in his Word. And when you memorize it, you're able to take it with you wherever you go, whatever circumstance you're in. It's with you. It's in your heart. So let's make sure we understand what we're talking about here.
And really, it's not that difficult either, is it? I mean, it's not complicated. Like you said, you hop in the car after church on Sunday morning. You're on your way home. You've got a 15-minute ride home. What an opportunity to ask your children and say, hey, what did you hear in the service this morning? What did you learn or what did you study in Sunday school? And, you know, maybe the first time, you know, the kids, their eyes are going to glaze over and they're saying, oh, you know, I don't remember. I didn't hear anything. I didn't learn anything. But if you get in that routine of asking that question, you know, children want to please. Mm-hmm. And if they know that you're going to ask that question Sunday morning after you leave church, they're going to start paying attention so that they can learn something, so that they can give an answer to their parents on the way home. Yeah, that's a good way to just get things started, getting everybody focused on what did I hear in church? What did we see in our hymns? What did we learn in Bible class or Sunday school? And the same thing with our family devotions. When we open up those devotions and read through that at night, to talk about it during the day, what did we learn? How can we apply that in our daily lives? It's a pretty simple thing to actually do if you think about it.
Yeah, you gotta get over the initial step of bringing it into your conversation and making it a part of your conversation. Then it becomes much more natural. And, you know, when the kids notice that something they did is important to you, that you care about something they were doing and they were involved with, that rings true with them. It's neat to see kids, and it's neat to see the Holy Spirit work in their hearts and how the study of about Jesus and what Jesus did for them brings them joy, and then that brings you joy as you see the joy of salvation in their life. It's an amazing blessing. A lot of struggles to make it a part of our daily life, but what a blessing to have that family altar and that time together with Jesus in your own home.
So if we have somebody listening who says, boy, I really like the idea of this. I would love to do this in my family. I understand the importance of it. I have not done that, but I just don't know where to start. I don't know how to make that work. What would you say to a person like that who comes to you and says, Pastor Pfeiffer, I really want to start family devotions in my home, but I don't know how to do that, and I don't know what's out there in order to help me do that. How would you respond? What would you give them?
Well, you know, one of the big suggestions is always don't be afraid of using the Bible. You know, we think the scriptures were made for adults. No, God wrote it for all people of all nations of all times. So don't be afraid of having family devotions where you're just reading a couple verses out of the Bible. You know, maybe steer away from Leviticus. That might be some heavy lifting for your kids. But there's great narrative scripture accounts. You know, reading through Exodus can be exciting. Reading through the book of Acts can be exciting as you see Jesus at work in his church, as even though the devil's trying to stop the church and the spread of the gospel, even though the world is trying to stop the spread of the gospel keeps going out and more people are brought into the church. So the book of Acts is a great read. The Gospel of Mark is pretty accessible. It's not too hard reading. So don't be afraid to use the scripture itself. I mean, that's what Paul reminded Timothy, that from infancy he knew the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation. That mom and grandma were training Timothy up in Holy Scripture from infancy. So don't be afraid to imitate Eunice and Lois and what they did for little Timothy. Some great other devotionals you can find in the CLC Bookhouse. The one I grew up on was A Child's Garden of Bible Stories. It's got 60 Bible accounts from the Old and New Testament. I just gave a copy to some grandparents in our congregation whose grandchild is now living with them. And, you know, their kids had moved out and they had moved on from their devotion books. But now with a grandchild in the house, they needed something. And they said she loves it. You know, this grandchild exasperates them. It's kind of a sad, broken home situation. Where there's a lot of inconsistencies in the child's life, but she loves sitting down and reading A Child's Garden of Bible Stories. Another great one is Little Visits with God. We've made use of that in the last year with our kids who are 7, 5, and 3. Our 3-year-old, it's a little heavy for her. She sits and she listens. But the 5-year-old listens closely to the story, and she's able to answer the questions at the end of the lesson. The 7-year-old enjoys answering the questions. Another great one, if you just want Bible stories, is the Story Bible, put out by Concordia Publishing House. That has 130 Bible stories, and the pictures are great in there. It's curious, they leave out certain Bible stories I thought they would have included, like the Tower of Babel, but it's 130 Bible stories. That covers a lot of scripture. And again, the lessons are a little bit longer, so anyone under 4 might be a tougher read, but still, you know, you can point to the picture and ask the 4-year-old or the 3-year-old about the picture and what they did see in the picture. So that's the Story Bible by Concordia Publishing House.
It seems like there are two basic approaches to family devotions.
Mm-hmm.
One would be a historical approach where you're just simply taking Bible stories,
yeah,
and going through like the Story Bible. The other approach would be more of a devotion where you tell a story, maybe like a parable, if you think about the ministry of Jesus, and then you apply that story of the world to a biblical truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe and you know, everybody's going to have a different approach to that, but there's value in both approaches. I love history, so I've always appreciated and probably gravitated more to a historical approach going through Bible stories. But if you're going to do morning and evening devotions, one thing that you could do is do a historical approach at one time and a more devotional approach at the other time, and alternate between those two so that you're getting both balances. Again, depending on what your family situation is, you know, understanding that there are basically two approaches to devotions for young children. Another resource that might be valuable for family devotions would be My First Hymnal, also put out by Concordia, which is basically a really, really small children's hymnal. It has prayers, confessions, the creed, And then it also has hymns that are in it. So it's just like a really tiny little hymnal, and it kind of introduces the child to all of the different parts of the liturgy and the things that you would have in church, but using it at home. We've used that with our youngest child in particular. He loves it. Our next oldest child will pick it up and sing hymns to him at night, you know, even after our family devotion. So that's a nice resource, too, that has all of those parts of a family devotion, a devotion, hymns, prayers, you know, incorporating all of those or giving those options to our children and getting them familiar with using a hymnal.
You know, when I have Sunday school teacher meetings and the Sunday school teachers say, well, sometimes we get into class and we get off topic, we get off, you know, the main focus of the lesson I wanted to take the kids through, that I try to emphasize them, if you're getting them into the Word, we're doing what we want to do. We want to get them into the Word, and same with our homes. If we're getting them into the Word, whether it's a hymnal or a kind of a parable devotional based on a Bible verse, if you're bringing the Word in and you're focusing their attention on Jesus and what Christ has done for them to rescue them from their own sin, you're carrying out your Christian calling as a parent. That's what the Lord wants, be in your heart and talk of it when you're in your house and when you're on the way and when you lie down and when you rise up.
One more thought before I let you go. A lot of this, our discussion has focused on the importance of setting up the family altar for the benefit of our children as those whom Christ has also purchased. Mm-hmm. What would you say to the family whose children have moved out of the house and now it's just a husband and a wife, or an individual? Is there still importance of having that family altar and that devotion time for you as an individual or a couple? Does this still apply to them?
Well, absolutely. Growth in the Word doesn't end when the kids move out. Say the same thing to our catechism students. Just because you're confirmed doesn't mean you're done growing in Christ. As long as we have life and breath in us, we need to be fed God's holy word. And so having that family altar, whether it's just a family of one in your home or a family of two, you and your spouse, or, you know, you still got little ones running around or grandkids, taking the time and making the time like Mary to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word, is for all generations. And so there's a lot of great resources out there. One that I just got introduced to was put out by Northwestern Publishing House. It's entitled As Luther Taught the Word of Truth, Devotions on the Small Catechism by Richard Lauersdorf. Again, Northwestern Publishing. And this is a great review on the catechism. Maybe it's been 20, 30 years since you've dusted off your catechism, and this breaks down the six chief parts of the catechism, so Apostles' Creed, the commandments, the Lord's Supper, and so on, and has short devotions on it that you personally can get refreshed on the teachings of your catechism. You and your spouse can go through it together and talk about the truths of the catechism. Another good one, again, by Lauersdorf, is Together with Jesus. It's a great, easy, gospel-orientated read. Lauersdorf does a great job in just brief devotions of talking honestly about sin and then pointing the sinner to the amazing work he did for you to redeem you through his death and resurrection.
We have put together a list of a lot of those resources that Pastor Pfeiffer has mentioned here this morning, geared for families with young children, families with older children, and then also individual or maybe a husband and wife devotion books. If you are interested in getting some of that information, if you'd like to see what those resources are and look through some of those, feel free to email us at burdenandblessing@gmail.com. I'll try also to put a link on this so that you can get access to that link if you would like it. But we have a number of resources that would be beneficial for you as you're looking forward to beginning or starting the family altar and making use of that in your home. Pastor Pfeiffer, thank you for joining us, taking us through the study. Very important. And Lord willing, our listeners will benefit from not only the encouragement that you have given, but also the resources that you have mentioned. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you. And the Lord be with you all.
If you have any other questions, feel free to give us a call. Send us an email at burdenandblessing@gmail.com. As always, if you have any other discussions or thoughts of things that you would like to have us address, let us know. We'll plan to put that on our list and to take a look at it and review it for you. May the Lord, in His grace and through the power of His Word, continue to sustain and strengthen your faith as we wait for our Savior's return.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.